My talk isn't quite the same as on the program. As always, you're not quite sure of what the talk is going to be all about, and you've got a title, you think that you can do it, but as you write it, you gradually see how it's sort of developing, and anyway, I wanted somewhat a shorter title, a more pithy statement to give it. It's still perhaps on that same theme, but very much the same. I've used the King James Version of the Bible for providing that title, but only using perhaps the first part of that Hebrews 11:13 verse. Because I want to discuss that part first, and then I'll extend it later to the rest of the sayings in that verse. There, also, if we remember rightly, chapter 11 of Hebrews there is all about faith. So there could be some point in making a slight change in the reading of that and where the emphasis should be. And we could perhaps put faith a little bit more in the forefront. And so, as perhaps in the NIV, it would read, "All these people were still living by faith when they died." Although the Amplified very much follows the King James Version, it does sort of amplify it more and say, faith brings the importance of faith out, and it states that faith had been the support and guide to their life, and even when facing death, they still maintained their faith, believing that the blessings that they had been promised were certain. They were not then in possession of what God had promised. I just thought that at this stage of my presentation, I thought it appropriate that I remind ourselves the details of those promises that were made and given to the patriarchs and the various times in which they were given. The first occasion of importance was given to Abraham when he was in Haran in Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3. And there was a couple of different parts to that. Although it's also true that there may be some indications in some of the other references that Abraham was called when he was in Ur, further into Mesopotamia. And so the promises are, if I can put them in the various verses, first of all, the Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country and your people and your father's household and go to the land I will show you." There was a certain condition to the promise. And verse 2 reads, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing." And the next verse, "I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all people on earth will be blessed through you." There is no perhaps direct indication in the Bible while God should have chosen Abraham over other people, or why even Abraham had chosen to believe what God promised. There's no indication in their further former life. In fact, a reference in Joshua 24 verse 2 indicates that the forefathers of Abraham had worshipped other gods other than the true God. Joshua 24, for your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, your father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. The moral standards perhaps of those people at the time are not clear. But we know that God had been compelled to create a confusion of languages at Babel to thwart the people's plan to create a seemingly impossible structure. And just the reference quoted there to from Joshua suggests that the people would not be suitable ones for to fulfil God's purpose. Nevertheless, God did choose someone, and he chose Abraham. Maybe it's a case of the purpose of election of God, so that our salvation may not be by works, but by him who calls. It can be noted from the promise that Abraham had to obey God and follow his instructions to receive the blessings promised. Whatever the reasons, Abram obeyed and went out of his country. Now, as a personal touch, I know what it is to leave my home and my family and go to live in a foreign country. And I did not know at that time what experiences to expect or what I might have to contend with you. So perhaps I can enter into a little bit into Abram's feelings at that time. But of Abram, the scriptures assert that he did not seek an opportunity to return to his former country. And they just consider themselves sojourners in a foreign land, for they were longing for a better country, indeed a heavenly one, as in Hebrews 11. To perhaps get a full meaning of the various promises to Abraham, it is perhaps just helpful to review the occasions when the promise was given and when they were repeated. First of all, there was he was going to the land that God would show him. And that land was shown to him after that Lot had left Abram in Genesis 13. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed for ever. And it was repeated again. When Abraham was also promised a son in Genesis 15:18, in the same day that the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. So the exact area and the land was defined in this statement, in this verse. It is also of note to see that this promise was made in the form of a covenant. There may be a somewhat debate on the meaning of the word covenant and those covenants that God has made. In a sense, a covenant can be an agreement between various parties. There may have to be some conditions in that. But it seems that when we look at the covenants that God has made, there is no bargaining of just what may be included, and what conditions or what extent it is. God sets the makes the covenant and said, if you want to believe or have the benefits, then there are conditions to receiving it. The one covenant perhaps that didn't have any conditions or any agreements was that with Noah, because the blessing and the promise that there will no more be a flood was did not depend on any particular action of Noah or anyone else. The conditions of this covenant with Abram is given in Genesis 19 and 17, verses 1 and verse 9. In particular, the requirement was for circumcision. When the covenant was confirmed to Isaac, he said, and the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. So Isaac had to stay in the land. And the promise was confirmed to Jacob as he fled from Esau in Genesis 28, verse 13. And also he had that promise again when he had returned from the land. And in that dream and that vision that Jacob had, God said, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest to thee will I give it and to thy seed. The promises, as I remember, had a number of different parts to it. There was the promise that Abraham would have many descendants. And this occurs many times and in different forms. In Genesis 13:16, and I'll make thy seed as the dust of the earth. So if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. And also another figure of speech is used, and I'll make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. And that's 28:14. And to illustrate it, in Genesis 15, he told Abram to go outside and look towards the heavens. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou art able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. And verse 26:4, and I make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. Perhaps in cities it's not so apparent, but if you're in the country and you look towards the heavens, you'll see multitudes of stars, and I've never certainly tried to number them. They somewhat depend on your eyesight as well, because more like a haze than individual ones. In Genesis 17:2-3, there was a promise to increase in numbers and be the father of many nations. And I'll make thy covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And in Genesis 18, a great and powerful number. Sorry, I was one slide behind. This is when the people, angels from the Lord came to tell Abraham that they were going down to Sodom to inspect the city to see whether it should be destroyed. And their words were, "Seeing that Abram shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." When Jacob returned from Laban in Genesis 35:11, and God said unto him, "I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and the kings shall come out of thine loins." And in Genesis 46, as Israel got ready to go down into Egypt, it's recorded in, "And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will make thee of thee a great nation." So I was somewhat surprised to notice how often that covenant with Abraham was confirmed. And confirmed in different ways and using different descriptions. But it has that same import of making Abraham a great nation. Now, as I said, I wanted to look at perhaps the rest of that reference text that I had in Hebrews 11:13-14. "All these died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth." Israel, when he went in before Pharaoh, presented himself, also used similar words, that he was a stranger and a sojourner on earth, indicating that he had no settled abode. And Hebrews recorded, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." The fact that they were sojourners and travelling and lived in tents indicated that they saw something, were seeking something greater and more than just the country which Abraham was told to walk through and later identified as that land from the river Euphrates to the river of Egypt. Because in the verse 18 of Genesis, but now in Hebrews, "But now they desire a better country, that is, in a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city." There is perhaps a number of corrections that need to be made in the King James reading here. And the words "and were persuaded of them" are not in the original text, but most likely a copyist comment that has been brought into the text, although perhaps very true, it is not quite there, perhaps, so we not use it. And the words embrace should be better translated, greeted or saluted. So we might read that verse then, not having received the promises, but having seen and greeted them from afar, and having confessed that they were strangers on earth. I find it that this verse about the kind of country that the patriarchs were seeking quite intriguing, as I see nothing in the promise given to Abraham that would indicate that this was the sort of place that they were seeking, a heavenly city. It may be in the concluding part of that promise, "and you shall all the families of earth be blessed," contain some hint of a much greater promise than the plain words may indicate. No matter how the patriarchs had come to understand that the promise of an earthly reference had also a higher and spiritual import, and this transference of thought from an earthly to a higher spiritual import is also indicated in chapter 3 of Hebrews, from 7 onwards into chapter 4, and the writer of Hebrews explaining the understanding of the Sabbath rest that the people were to enter into, and concluding in chapter 4, verse 11, with the words, "Let us labour, therefore, to enter into that rest." This would seem to indicate some spiritual meaning. It is not necessary to suppose that the desire and yearnings of the fathers express themselves in definite forms which later revelations have made familiar, but that in all that is essential, the hope existed while the mode of it was unknown. Through faith, the patriarchs were willing to connect their whole life and that of their children with waiting at God's bidding for the fulfilment of a promise, wandering and sojourning until they should come into a place that God would grant as a home of their own. And yet we see that each of these servants of God recognise that relation to God in which lay the foundation of promise to him to be a personal and abiding promise. So thank you for your patience in listening. Thank you.